Praise the Lord, beloved. We praise the Lord and we thank Him for allowing us to be able to come together on this another Sunday, another day that we have set aside that we would worship and praise the Lord together. I'm sure that we all worship and praise the Lord daily in our own way while we're at home or wherever we may find ourselves or find it even convenient that we can do this. We know the Lord has given us various commands as far as being able to worship and pray to Him. And we can do that any day, all day, every day, and everywhere. For the Lord does dwell within us who are believers and followers of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So we thank the Lord for this opportunity. I'm going to go straight into our word today after first we go to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We praise you. Lord, we glorify you for being so good and for being so good to us. We thank you for this opportunity to be able to say a word, Heavenly Father. The word, and we pray that, Lord, that it be the word that you give us, that you've given me to say to your people. We pray, Lord, that as it goes forth on these airwaves, that you would bless it. Let it be the words from my mouth that you would have to go forth, Heavenly Father, and let it be received, Father, to those whom you would have it to go out to. Let it be without confusion, distortion, because we do know that Satan, being the prince of the power of the air, does all type of things to keep messages from going out the way that they're supposed to. Many times they will leave the lips of somebody from point A, but by the time it reaches point B, it seems like many times they hear a completely different message. But Lord, we are praying that you will bless these words as they go forth. Let it be received, Heavenly Father, in the ears of those that you would allow to receive it, Father, without confusion, distortion, or any of that matter. We thank you. We praise you. Was in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen. I can say we have been going for a minute. Lord blessed us to take a little, well, a little vacation. And we thank the Lord for that. He's allowed us to go on our first cruise and we thank the Lord for what He's done, and yes, we enjoyed ourselves, but at the same time, we had time to be able to go before the Lord in some solitude, and we thank the Lord for that. But having said that, let's go straight into the message for today. Now, our text is going to be coming from the Gospel of Mark, the 9th chapter. Our text verses are going to be 28 and 29, but I, for the benefit of those who do not have their Bibles available to them, I'm going to read from verses 14 through 29. It may seem like a lot, but prayerfully it will not be too sound too harsh to those of you who hear it. And when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, "What question ye with them?" And one of the multitude answered and said, "Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit, and wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not." He answered them and said, "O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me." And they brought him unto him. And when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, How long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. And often and oft times it cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit and saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him. And he was as one dead. Insomuch that many said he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could not we cast him out? And he said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. We have read to you from the Gospels of St. Mark, the 9th chapter, the 14th through the 29th verses in the King James Version. May the Lord bless the reading and hearing of his word. Now, just like the original 12 disciples Jesus chose, many of us spend time around Jesus. I want you to hear this. We spend time around Jesus without spending time with Jesus. Now, let me explain to you what I mean. They spent time around him. They spent time listening to him, being taught by him, learning various things about him, watching what he did, listening to all of that. But many, just like many of us today, we don't spend time with him. Sure, we say that we pray. Some will say, oh, I pray quite a while. I pray a long time. I talk to the Lord and I take many things to him, not just for myself, but for many other people. And we spend a lot of time praying to God. But let me ask you a question. When do we give the Lord the time to hear what he's saying to us? You've asked him for things, and we look for the physical manifestation of the things we ask for. But how about when we talk to the Lord and we share things with him and our thoughts, not just our problems, many things we share with him? When do we give him the time? When have we set apart the time when we can hear what he is saying in response to that? I mean, just think about that. I'm guilty of it a lot. I go before the Lord with many things. But how often do I just sit back and just listen? Put myself in a position where I can listen and hear what the Lord is saying to me in response to the things I have said to him. This is what we mean by spending time with Jesus. We look in the word, we see many times, but Jesus went off by himself. He just said he wanted to have solitude, to be with his father, to hear what his father had to say with him. Maybe it's no more than to hear his father say, rather, you're doing what I told you to do, son. Good job. Or maybe, yes, you did this part. Now I need you to do this. Now you want to do this. Or maybe the Lord is just coming to him, as we've seen in the scriptures, saying, Dad, I this what I'm getting ready to do is hard, it's difficult, and I'm, whatever. You see what I'm saying? That's what we find ourselves doing often. Not even getting out what we really want to say sometimes, and we just talk to the Lord. What makes you think that the Lord doesn't, Jesus did not do that with his father when he went off to hear what his father had to say to him? Spend time with his father. So how often, again, do we find ourselves spending time with Jesus? Spending time with God the Father. Yes, we talk to him, but we got to give him time to talk to us. But anyhow, we cannot help but be reminded of the times when even the 12 disciples could not accomplish some of the tasks that the Lord had them face. Some of the things, and some of those things we might think was simple. Okay. But they didn't do them. And we chalked them up. We look at them when we read them in the scriptures. And yes, well, he was training them, he was teaching them, and that may well be the case. Okay. They might have been in their learning phase, and I'm not going to question that. I don't doubt that. But we need to remind ourselves of something very simple. We need to be reminded that these men, these 12, were given the accelerated course in ministry. Oh yes, many of us have been fortunate to go to different halls of academia, and we've taken various courses, and we spent some time in the class, and we spent time having to study on our own. We've done that. These men were given on the job training by the master teacher himself. Not through AI, not through Zoom or any other type of media. No, they were given the accelerated version when it comes to ministry by Jesus. And we say this on the job because many things Jesus did, he went on later and explained it to them. He realized that they needed to be shown many things, not just told about them. They need to experience them. They need to see them performed firsthand. And again, like I said, they need to experience them themselves. They need to experience success as well as failure, because they are all learning mechanisms. We learn by the things that we accomplish as well as the things we don't. We're able to look back and say, I did not accomplish this task because I did not do this, or I did not do that, or I forgot to do this, or I didn't do this long enough, I didn't do this short enough, I did whatever. We learn from it. We learn from, again, the failures as well as the successes. So as we read the scriptures, this where our text is coming from today, as we read this, and this I don't intend to keep you long. As we read the scriptures and see what Jesus was doing in the presence of the 12, we see so many lessons in this text. There are many lessons, and I'm not trying to give them all to you, okay? I'm not trying to look in and explain every lesson in here, but I want to point out some very important ones. Okay. I want to point some of those out. Because we need to understand that Jesus was not just teaching his disciples. He wasn't just teaching all those who were present, but he's teaching us as well. He's teaching us today. These lessons, this incident, I'll say, has resonated down through the years for us, to us, we might learn from them as well. Now, I want us to take note of this incident. Okay, with this man who has a child who is possessed with a spirit, a foul spirit. Okay, and we understand that this man had presented his child, his son, before the 12, that they might cast this spirit out of his son, this foul spirit, the spirit that had his child even trying to kill himself at times, throwing himself into the fire, throwing himself into the water, trying to dry. All these things were going on. And father, can you imagine a father watching his child do all types of things because this spirit is having him do all these different types of things, and he's been watching his child go through this even up to the age he is at the present time in the text. Watching, can you imagine watching your child grow up doing these things that there is no medical explanation, there's no psychological explanation, and you realize you come to the point, I don't know when in this man's life, that he came to the realization that his child is possessed by a spirit. How many of us realize today that you are walking around people that world says that they are crazy, they're lunatic, they're special needs, they got medical issues, whatever they're saying, and all the while a lot of them are possessed by a spirit. The world doesn't want to acknowledge that. The world doesn't want to admit that, hey, we looked at all the medical all of the medical things that it could possibly be. We looked at all the psychological things that it could possibly be, and we cannot find an answer. And they do not want to come to the conclusion that this child, this person, is possessed with a spirit, our spirit, a demonic spirit, we dare say. They don't want to admit that. But somewhere along the line, this man realized his son is possessed with a spirit. And he didn't give up on his son. We see that. We see that he, I don't know whether it was out of desperation, but he brought his son to where he believed he could get help. He brought his son to followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. He brought his son to those who were teaching and preaching a message that was not the norm. He heard about this man, Jesus. He heard about how he had done miraculous things to others and for others. So now he has an opportunity when he sees his teachers, his followers, his disciples, he brings the boy to them, only to find that they could not cast the spirit out of the boy. So now, you might say, well, the poor man, I guess he gave up. Nothing could be done. But no, he didn't. No, he didn't. He said, I've gone to the students. I need to go to the teacher. I need to see the teacher. How many of you have gone? I don't care if it's the stores, businesses, wherever. And you did not get satisfaction from those who work there, the clerks, maybe. He said, I need to see your supervisor. I need to see your manager. I need to see your boss. I need to see the somebody who's over you that has the authority to do what I need to be done. Because you don't. I'm not going to say, well, I give up because you can't. I need to see somebody that's over you. So this man goes to the master, the teacher, which is a title that Jesus has given, and some interpret master means teacher. So we see here, first point I want to bring out is we see here in verse 17 that the father of this child who is possessed with this spirit, we see him go to Jesus and call him Master. I'm here in the presence of the one who should be able to give me satisfaction. I'm in the presence of the one who should be able to do what it is I need to have done. We see this. And when he brings the child before Jesus, he begins to tell Jesus about what's going on with his child, the things that the child has been doing. Okay, he tells them all of that, and then he tells them that I brought him, to your disciples. I brought him to your followers. I brought him to the ones, that are under you. But they could not cast him out. They couldn't. No. Jesus talked to the man. He said, oh Lord, how long do I have to be around you? How long do I have to just to show you the things that I can do? That I can do. I want you to get this. Don't you miss this. Okay. He said, bring this boy to me. Bring him to me. And he did that. Okay. And when the boy, the spirit in this boy, I want you to get this, saw him, he began to have this boy go into convulsions and all kinds of stuff. Okay. Well, Jesus said to him, you gotta believe. Very simple. Because if you believe, all things are possible. I want and listen, a beloved one. Listen, this is so important. You can't just read by this. Now watch what he said. If you believe, all things are possible. All things. Because this man said something else to Jesus. Remember, in the 17th verse, he called him master. But look at what he said all the way down in the 22nd verse. After he told Jesus what this boy did, has been doing his life, all throughout his life, he says, but if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. If you call me master. This is what Jesus, watch this. You call Jesus master, but now you come to him saying, if you can do anything. You see the little presence of a little bit of doubt there. Remember what Jesus said to them when they first brought the boy. He said, oh, you faithless generation. How long? He was talking to everybody. Some of you say, I don't know. Maybe he was. Let's go a little bit further in the text. Okay. When Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible, look what the man says to Jesus next. He said, Lord, now what, Master, if thou can redo it, now Lord. You see what's going on here? You see what's going on here? Master, Lord, I believe. I believe. Help thou my unbelief. Now look at what he's saying. Lord, I do believe. It's like so many days. I know that you have all power. I know that you can do all things. I know that there's nothing too hard for you. But the doubt that I have is if you'll do this for me. And somewhere in the back of my mind, I have the terrible thought that I'm not worthy. I may not be worthy. I've done things that weren't right, and maybe you'll hold this against me. I got all kind of, these are the little things that we don't want to admit. They're called doubt. How come we have this doubt when the Lord has already told us, you are my children, you belong to me. I will withhold no good thing from you. If you ask me, what child asks their father for something and he turns around and gives them something contrary? You ask me for bread, I want, I'm gonna give you a stone. You belong to me. I told you I will supply all of your needs. I just told you. In the word, I will not withhold any good thing from you. So why would you think less? Why would you think that if you ask me for something, I will not give it to you? When I've given you so many other promises, so many assurances in my word, what makes you think I will not do what I say I've done? Don't you realize that I'm not a man that I would lie? This is what God is saying to us. This is what the Lord is saying to us. This is what the Lord is reminding us in His Word. So, yes, Lord, all these other doubts that run through my mind, I need help with that. See, I know you. I know there's nothing to it. You created everything. I know that. But I got that little smidgen of doubt there. Not of your ability. It's not about your ability, but I have some doubt in there. So I need help with that. I need help to overcome this little bit of doubt that I have. This, because this is, it could be what's keeping you, your students from doing what they would able to do. My doubt. It's not because they did not have the ability. It's just like you said, Lord, there are so many miracles you cannot do in a place you were prepared to do so many things, but because of the doubt of the people, because of the way they looked at you, because they could not see you for who you are, you could not perform the many things you're able to, because they were not ready to receive it. So Lord, I want to receive that which you are prepared to give me. So please help me with the doubt that I have. You know I believe, Lord, I'm here. I didn't go to some soothsayer. I didn't go to some magician. I didn't go to some witch. I'm here. Not as some exorcist or something. Lord, I'm here. I do believe. I just need some help. I need a little help here. I just came from your disciples, and I've been going through so many things with my son, and I've been faced with so many disappointments. Can you blame me, Lord, for The little doubt that I have, I do believe, but can you blame me for the little doubt that I have? Jesus didn't say a word. See, unlike us, we want to go into judgment mode. We forget the fact that the man is here. He came here. He's here. We look at people when we get to church. We want to judge how they look. We want to judge how they smell. We want to judge how they dress. We forget the simple fact that they're there. I may have been in the gutter last night. I may have been in the gutter an hour ago. I may have just came out of the gutter, but I'm here. There's so many things I don't know. You tell me how wonderful the Lord is, and I can't relate. But I'm here. Teach me. I'm here. I have doubts. I have questions. Life has been dealing me from the bottom of the deck as far back as I can remember. Many people saying this, but I'm here now. Don't turn me away because I don't look like you. I don't dress like you. I don't smell like you. I'm here. And Jesus saw that. He didn't have to comment. What did he do? He went right to work. The man brought his son here. He brought his son and said, "If you could do any, have compassion on me. Help us." The man is begging. He believes. Oh, Satan is doing things to put doubts in his mind. But he's here. He's here. Jesus went right to work. And look at what Jesus said. He said, "Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, I command you." Look, notice how Jesus, he took charge. He's not asking the spirit anything. He's not questioning. He's not doing anything. He took charge. He's showing them that he has authority over the spirit. He's not asking the spirit anything. He's telling the spirit. He said, "Listen, come out of this boy. Come out of him. And don't just come out of him. Don't go back into him anymore." We need to understand. We need to understand. How many times have you been able to overcome temptation? And you give God praise for the time that you did. But the temptation comes again. That's what the devil does. Don't think that because you won this battle that the war is over. But for this spirit, Jesus told him to come out and don't go back in. But let me tell you something. That doesn't mean that there's not another spirit that won't attack this boy. You see, let me tell you what happens with many people. They call on the Lord. "Lord, get me through this. Lord, help me with this. Lord, if you get me through this, I won't do such and such and such." And the Lord, okay. And the Lord honors that. And he gets you through it. And so many of us go right on about what we were doing. We forget all about the promise we made to the Lord if he gets us through. And let me tell you something, unless you become part of the household of faith, unless you become a child of God, you're still open. As far as these other spirits are concerned, you're still open for business. You got nothing to keep them from coming into you because you have not accepted the Lord as your Savior, even though you said what you would do. And he'll come. Somebody else will come. Some other spirit will come. Maybe many more will come. I don't know. You begin to do what the Lord has allowed me to preach a couple of times, what I call spiritual AIDS. You see, it's not AIDS itself that kills you, but AIDS breaks down your immune system, where you become subject to all different types of ailments, diseases, or what have you. Without the Holy Spirit indwelling in you, all types of foul spirits can come and enter into you. You have nothing to keep them out. You need to be born again. Otherwise, any spirit will come. Oh, there's room in there. Come on and call his friends. Come on, y'all. Oh, this is wide open. This is something nice here. So I want you to understand that. But this spirit, this deaf and dumb, foul spirit, he said, you come out of him and don't go back in. He did this before the people. This is what he did. So, when the spirit, now I want you to get this, I'm almost finished. When the spirit was coming out of this boy, the word says this, the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him, and he was as one dead. In other words, what happened when the spirit is coming out of that boy? He hollered. I don't know what he said. I don't know what he hollered, but he hollered. And as he was coming out of this boy, he had the boy going into convulsions. Okay. When people looking at him, I can imagine he was shaking, going into convulsion, foaming at the mouth, as he had done at other times. He's doing all this. And when the spirit left him, the boy just laid there. Like somebody dead. To the point that the people thought he was dead. Just lay there. I guess they looked around, looked at each other. Well, the spirit's out of him, but the boy is gone. Dead. That's what they said. Jesus walked over to him, took the boy by the hand, and lifted him up. And the boy got up, he rose up, got up. The spirit left him. Boy got up. Well, I'd like to tell you that was the end of this lesson. But it's not. You see, we know, because when Jesus called them faithless and doubting people and we said that to them when they couldn't cast this boy out, this spirit out of this boy. We know that Jesus was teaching as well as reinforcing the faith of all those who were there. Reminding them, reinforcing the way your faith should be. Letting them understand that Jesus is still the author and finisher of our faith. Letting them realize that Jesus has the authority over these spirits that come into people. You don't have to doubt that. He can do that. He's showing you that this spirit's got to come out of this boy. And even though you say, well, these spirits can kill us, or they can do that type of, Jesus showed you, he has no authority yet. Took this boy by the hand, raised him up. Y'all thought he was dead. Well, we know he was. But one thing we do, we don't have to guess about. Jesus took him by the hand. The boy rose up. The word said Jesus took him by the hand, lifted him up, and the boy rose. So that's a fact. So no matter what state the boy was in, whether he was dead, whether he just looked dead, or whatever he was, we know for a fact Jesus grabbed him by the hand and he rose. That we do know. But like I said, this is what we had to get to. Some of you are rejoicing in knowing that, but this is what we need to get. After the crowd went their way, as they always do, they saw what they needed to see. Okay, the man bought his son. The son who had the spirit in him, now the spirit's gone. The boy's back to normal. Everything is hunky dory. We can all go on back home. But it's what happened next with Jesus' disciples that brings us to our text for today. I didn't forget, y'all might have thought I forgot to give you our subject rather for today. This is what brings us to our subject for today, which is very simple. You got to spend time with Jesus. You got to spend time with Jesus. Our text says this. And when he was coming to the house, now this is after when this happened with this boy. And when he was coming to the house, his disciples asked him privately, "Why couldn't not we cast him out?" And Jesus said unto them, now watch this. This kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. Now I want y'all to get this here. Believe it, love it, and I'm done. I'm done. I'm truly done. They got to Jesus personally and they asked him, how come we couldn't cast him out? And he said, no, this guy can only come out by prayer and fasting. Nothing less. You have to pray and fast. Now, a lot of you are saying right now, okay, I pray and I fast, but do you really know what you're doing when you do that? Now let me lay this out to you like this. Jesus is giving the disciples, when he make that statement, a preview of one of the most important lessons that Paul will share with us later. I say a couple of the most important lessons that we as followers of Jesus Christ, we as believers on the Lord Jesus Christ, we who believe in what the word teaches. Look at what it says. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Now, this is recorded in Philippians 4, chapter 13, verse. I want you to jot this down. And another verse I just want to share with you, another popular verse. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. Now, that's the first part of Ephesians 6:18. Now, why do I want to point these couple of verses out? I'll tell you why. And I want you to think about what happened with the disciples in the case of the spirit. See, when Jesus told them it takes prayer and fasting to cast that type of spirit out of the boy, it wasn't because that was an exceptional spirit. It wasn't because it is an exceptionally powerful spirit. It's more powerful than any other evil spirit that comes into them. It wasn't because of that. But Jesus knew that the disciples were taking for granted their association with Jesus and thought that they could just cast a spirit out of someone without the aid of the Lord. Now, I want you to get this. Let me stop here. I don't want y'all to be confused with this. I'm not saying, oh, they got high on their horses and they said, okay, we can go out and do this and do that. It wasn't that type of attitude. No. It was very simple. They did not seek the aid of the Lord. Very simple. Because they had spent so much time around Jesus, because they felt a closeness with Jesus, because they felt as though, hey, I know Jesus, I'm with him, and what we're going to do, we're going to do with the power that Jesus has given us. They weren't wrong. They had the power. They had the authority to cast that spirit out. But Jesus is saying to them, I said, it comes forth by prayer and fasting. You have not been in communication with me. Pray. You have not been in communication with me. Fasting, you have not shown the discipline to be able to slow things down. Seek me about this. You're saying, well, he's given us the power and authority. Why do we have to seek him? Well, let me put it to you like this. I hear a lot of people even talking about we need to get Trump out of office. Why? When did you talk to the Lord and he told you, I want him out of there? Did not the Lord allow him to be put in there? Have you talked to him and asked him that? You say, Lord, are you treating him like you did Pharaoh? Allowed him to persecute God's people? Are you treating him like that? Is he one of the pieces, one of the pawns, even in what you're doing? Is he playing the role? I mean, yeah, he's done so many things that have caused so many believers to pray. Well, maybe that's his role. I don't know. That is why he said, in all things, excuse me, that's why he said, and pray in the spirit on all occasions. You need to talk to me. You don't know what I'm doing. You don't know my way. My ways are not yours. This was done for your, for everybody else's benefit. And for you to understand that even though I've given you authority and power, for you to know how to use it, when to use it, what to use it for, you need to be in communication with me. That's what you need to do. I'm not going to speculate anything. I'm telling you what it is. You need to be in communication with me. If you look back in the scripture, you can look back even in Second Chronicles, start at the 18th verse, as well as First Kings in the 22nd chapter. You'll see we have allowed lying spirits to operate. You don't know how I'm doing things. You need to be in communication with me. You need to be talking to me, communicating with me in the spirit. See, you want to always be in the center of my will for you, is what the Lord is saying. Listen, you don't know what everybody else is doing. You can't control anybody else. You have no authority over any other person but you. You just like you don't know who's saved and who's not. You need to be in agreement with me before you start going out here doing anything. It don't take you but a second. Say, Lord, this person come to me with this spirit. I'm about to cast him out, and I'll let you know right then and there. Nope. Or yes. I may tell you to do something different. You don't know. That's why you are always, that's in the word, man, are always to pray. You'll always to be with me. The just shall live by faith. And your faith, what comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You need to consult me on all these things. It don't take but a second. I move very quickly, the Lord is saying, when I need to. You need an answer right away, I've already gotten it. I'm saying this, beloved, and I'm done. It's an important thing for us to know that if we want to be in the center of the Lord's will for us, we ought to always stay in communication with the Lord. We got to always stay in communication with him. We got to. We have to. It's a must. It goes without saying. Okay? You gotta spend time with Jesus. You can't just spend your time talking to him. You also got to make time, put time aside where you can hear him talk to you. When is he supposed to do it? When is he supposed to be able to sit back and talk with you? I don't know when that time is for you. Are you that busy that you cannot set aside some time to be in communion, to be in solitude with the Lord? You don't have a place in your house where you can just be there for the Lord to talk to you, to hear him? Are you so into your TV shows, your movies, or whatever it is that you cannot find time to spend in the presence of the Lord for him to talk to you? You gotta spend time with Jesus. Then you won't be doing like so many people. Yeah, run it off half-cocked. And the same God who told you to be in obedience and to pray for those who have authority over you, you won't be so quick to get out and picket and go around saying, we want him, we want her, whoever it is, out of office. Not knowing whether it is the Lord who wants them in office to do what he wants them to do. You'll know that if you spend time with Jesus. You got to spend time with him. No, they could not cast him out, not because they did not have the power and authority. But Jesus said, I want y'all to do this, but don't do this on your own. You start going out here doing this here and leaving me out of the picture. You're going to be disappointed. Ask the sons of Sceva if you'll be disappointed or not, trying to cast out and going around casting out demons without my authority. You can't work on authority of somebody else. You got to talk to me. You got to spend time with me. That's what the Lord is saying. For us to be able to execute the power and the authority over what's going on around us. Because let me tell you something. There are many people going around with spirits possessing them. And if you want to be able to recognize and cast these spirits out, you gotta spend time with Jesus. God bless you, my sisters and my brothers. May heaven smile upon you. Always, always keep the Lord in the picture. You gotta, you just gotta spend time with Jesus.